Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You are listening to the Tableau Podcast.
Welcome to the Tableau Podcast. I'm going to talk about the greatest movie soundtracks ever.
You came in so hot with that.
Yeah. I just built myself up to a point where I can't deliver.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So as I've mentioned many times, Haru's really into Billie Eilish. Like, she's a fan. And like a month and a half ago, was it 2 months ago? Like, she dropped that soundtrack to the 007 movie that just wasn't able to come out.
Yeah.
So the soundtrack exists.
Is a hit.
Yeah, but the film didn't come out, which is a rare situation, right? But I'm really into movie soundtracks. And when you're musicians, when they're making music, they'll often, sometimes they'll try to create something cinematic, right? And a lot of listeners as well, or reviewers or whatever, or the audience, will describe music as being cinematic when it's not a soundtrack, right? And that word exists because there's a certain aesthetic, audible aesthetic to movie soundtracks. And also like the feeling you get from a movie soundtrack that you just can't get from other songs, really. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, and if you think about it, a lot of music videos try to create that feeling by providing like a 4 minute or 3 minute visual, mm-hmm. right? So that it can deliver music in a way where it feels cinematic at times. And some of my favorite soundtracks, like, not only because it's connected to the movie that's in my mind, but just the way it's created mm-hmm. and the way it sounds. And I like cinematic music. A lot of Epic High's music, I've literally like sat down and told my members, like, I want to create an album that sounds like a soundtrack, even though the movie doesn't exist. So that's why there's a lot of orchestration in our music. I actually even have an album that a lot of people don't know about called Soundtrack to a Lost Film, which is it's a song without any lyrics or like basically no vocals.
So like a score.
Yeah, it's a score basically.
Yeah.
But it's by me. It's Tableau and Penny, this producer that was a friend of mine, and we also have a music video that's very cinematic. Because it's, a soundtrack to a film that doesn't exist really.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love hearing cinematic music. Because even if there is no film that I can place in my mind. Like the way movie soundtracks are made. And the way they're composed. You're listening and you can like envision a scene. Right? Like you can visualize a scene. Like you can visualize the weather. Like it'll take you back into like certain memories you have. And that's why I love movie soundtracks. Basically.
Yes.
One soundtrack that you know, it's kind of corny for me to even mention because it's so, like, obviously iconic.
Okay.
You know the Titanic soundtrack?
Yeah.
My Heart Will Go On?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That song has been overplayed, right? Like, like any heartbreaking scene or like even in like comedy shows, that song will come up still to this day.
Yeah.
And at the time when Titanic came out and Titanic was just incredibly popular.
Yeah, it blew up.
That song was literally sung by every person at a talent show.
Yeah.
Ever. Okay. To prove how good they are.
Yeah.
And it's been, you know, performed to death. But for some reason, anytime that song is like playing somewhere, like I love it. And I just automatically, you know, like…
I like how you put yourself in the place of Rose like, and not Jack.
Like Wings. Well, it would be weird for me to…
Did you just grab at nothing?
Yeah, just… It would be weird for me to describe the Titanic scene by being Jack. So
I would just be the boat.
And it's so beautifully written. And the story behind that soundtrack is… I think it was like… Who did the soundtrack? It was like James Horner? I can't remember. Who… Can you…
Well,
search?
I just know Celine Dion sings the heck out of that song.
Well, here's the thing. The soundtrack was originally without any vocals.
Ooh.
Like… James Cameron specifically wanted it to be like…
Yeah.
Is it James Horner?
Mm-hmm, James okay. Horner.
So apparently James Cameron told James Horner that he really wants it to be just a score. Right? And he doesn't want any song with like vocals or lyrics in his film. And James Horner wrote the song but he was like… This has to have lyrics and it has to like be sung by a human voice. And to convince James Cameron, because James Cameron was so against it, apparently like they had a lunch or a dinner or something. And then he played it for him there. And once, so it was recorded with Celine Dion on it. And then basically auditioned for James Cameron really, right?
Yeah.
And James Cameron heard it and he was just like blown away by it. And he was like, okay, we're going with this. But it almost never happened. Apparently that part…
Yeah.
I think that's the part where like James Cameron was like, okay, we're doing it.
Oh, like he heard that and he was like, got it.
Maybe not that part. I don't know. There's some part in the song that like James Cameron was apparently just listening and then it got to that part and he was like, okay, I'm sold. But another… Along those lines is I Will Always Love You, right? Whitney Houston. I actually have no recollection of the movie Bodyguard.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the music video. Because that song was so beautifully performed. And I don't think I ever saw Bodyguard. But the film clips within the music video… are the only images I have in my mind of that movie. But I still knew what the movie would be about. Like I feel like I've seen the movie 100 times because of that song. And you know what song I'm talking… You know…
Yeah, yes. Okay. I was just looking at the movie.
Oh, okay. and that's one of those cases where like the song is so much bigger than the movie.
Yeah.
And… Do you know that Bryan Adams song? Like that really, really old song? I Will Always… Everything I Do It For You?
I feel like I would know if I heard it.
Everything I do it for you.
Yeah, yes I do.
It's like from Robin Hood.
Yes, it is. Prince of Thieves.
Okay. It's like a Robin Hood film with like Kevin Costner, right? And… I think that's another case where the song was so huge that like… I think people fell in love with the movie because of the song almost. What other soundtracks come to mind? Like vocal soundtracks.
Oh, vocal soundtracks. I mean obviously every Disney movie including Frozen.
Yeah, Disney movies are actually all about
but
the
you
soundtrack.
Know what? For me, in terms of Pixar, Toy Story, you've got a friend in me.
Oh, that was great.
You've got a friend. That was like
actually,
a perfect
I'm thinking
song.
Of something else. I'm thinking of…
What do you mean?
The song on Toy Story that made me cry.
Was it a recent?
No, it was like Toy Story like 2? Where Woody has the friend?
Yeah.
The counterpart?
Yeah. The girl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a song?
Oh, maybe. But the You've Got a Friend in Me is like… They're iconic. Like that's how like yeah, the movie starts.
But that's actually not like a song I like.
Really?
Because…
You don't like the You've Got a Friend
it's,
in Me?
It sounds too wholesome for me.
Well, like, Toy Story is wholesome.
Yeah, but I don't like that. Like I want my… I want my soundtracks to like… It wasn't cinematic enough for me.
But it
if
is,
that makes any sense.
You know what? I think it became cinematic when you come back to it for like the third movie, which is like their big goodbye. So it's kind of this like… This, like
I'm not saying it's a bad song.
Yeah, but what yeah. I'm saying is like… I think it became cinematic, more cinematic with time.
Mm-hmm.
And like the nostalgia that became so heavily attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
So that when you heard it again for like the third movie, which is them saying goodbye to that kid that they… you know, raised with or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's like hearing again, the meaning kind of changed, right?
Because
mm-hmm. it's like, yeah, as you get older, you say goodbye to your friends, but no matter what, like you still got a friend in me.
That is
kind
true.
Of a thing.
That is true.
Hits ya. It hits ya.
I'm about to cry right now. Those got, damn toys.
You've got a friend
hey,
in me.
Non-vocal soundtracks. What's your favorite?
The Social Network. So,
Trent
score.
Reznor.
Trent Reznor and Atticus Finch.
Trent Reznor is amazing. Yeah. Ever since Nine Inch Nails.
Yes.
His soundtrack work is really good. And if you think about it, like he was the perfect person to do Social Network.
Yeah, because…
Technology
it was,
and…
It was all digital. And
yeah.
It was so… Like the static he kept using.
Yeah. And he was ahead of his time with all the like digital music.
Yeah.
Right? So… He was perfect for that. And what I like about that soundtrack is that it doesn't take your focus off the movie. But at the same time, if you just listen to the soundtrack, you can't take your focus off the music.
Mm-mm.
Which is crazy, right? That they were able to do that.
The very opening… The first song in that whole score, which is obviously the opening of the movie. Which is like that… uneasy like it's like sounds like cellos are just that are just like grinding
yeah, yeah
and then all of a sudden you have like the most delicate like single note piano go like yeah. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, yeah
oh I love it so much
it's really good. One of my favorite soundtracks is The Hours.
Okay.
I think it's Philip Glass is one of my favorite composers of all time, so obviously I'm gonna love it. But the work he did on that soundtrack is unbelievable.
Hmm.
Just any song, any composition by Philip Glass is amazing. I love this so much that I paid a huge amount of money to use a Philip Glass composition for a teaser for our… Ninth album, like our We've Done Something Wonderful album.
Yeah.
Like if you go on YouTube, there's like a 1 minute video that's a teaser for our album. And the soundtrack on there is a Philip Glass song. And we actually paid
wow.
The Philip Glass people to use it. And it was a ton of money for a 1 minute teaser. But I still wanted to because there was no other composition that could deliver what it feels like to put an entire, like put couple years into like a work of art and the life that goes in there and the pain that goes in there. And that composition just worked. And other people like that, you know, there are so many great, like, you know, film music.
Especially like time period movies like Pride and Prejudice and
yeah.
all those like classic films. Their scores are obviously very… timeless.
Obviously, John Williams, who did Star Wars, Indiana Jones, Jaws, basically every iconic like theme.
Did he do Jurassic Park?
Yeah, he did Jurassic Park. So any like he's just incredible because like you hear it once and you can never forget. That's one of the things that I used to knock like the Marvel films for, because I feel like for a movie of that size, like their score,
oh yeah,
wasn't iconic enough.
Yeah, like what?
But eventually, the is Alan Silvestri,
mm-hmm.
right? The
you can't not ask me about a Marvel movie. Who's the one who did Inception? That Hans Zimmer.
Yeah, Hans Zimmer is yeah. what, like
Inception's score was also iconic. Like it really does mean a lot that like if your score,
oh, it's Alan Silvestri. I'm right. Out. Okay, so Alan Silvestri did the Avengers soundtrack, and I have to admit, like eventually, like that bum 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 became super iconic.
Mm-hmm.
It eventually caught on, but at the beginning, like with the first films, like I felt like they could have better soundtracks, and I'm sure they figured that out too. That's why they got, you know, Alan Silvestri to do it. But other amazing soundtracks are Ryuichi Sakamoto with Merry Christmas, Mr. Lawrence.
Okay.
Many people don't know the film because it's so old. I'm not sure even if I saw it. I feel like I did.
You just absorbed it. It has David Bowie. The music.
It has David Bowie in it, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah, like.
Oh, and also, Into the Spider-Verse had a great soundtrack. Not score, but soundtrack. Yeah, it was David Bowie. Yeah.
Into the Spider-Verse?
Had a great
soundtrack. Yeah, with the Swae Lee and.
And Vince Staples doing Home.
Yeah. If we want to talk about like a group, like a. The master of placing the right songs into the films, like even if they're not original compositions, it's probably Tarantino, right?
Yeah.
Like, like most of his films, the sound, like the song selection is incredible.
Like Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, Pulp Fiction, Kill Bill.
He's very like, his sensibility is very like rock and roll. Like in terms of like the vibe is very just like, it's about the music going in to amplify everything.
Yes.
What has your personal experience been like as a musician? Like, I don't know what your like history is with making any like soundtrack.
We did soundtracks to like Korean dramas. But I think we only did one. Because
what is the like process for that?
Okay. So I think for the amount of times we were asked to do soundtracks, probably like in the thousands, honestly. But I said no to almost every single project, mostly because, you know, if they just ask me and they're like, can you provide a song for this film or for this drama? And they gave me the like 100% freedom to do it. It's mostly about that. Like I've been offered tons of money. I've been offered like very little money, but the money was never the issue. For me, it's like, do I get complete autonomy to do it? But a lot of times they'll interfere. And I totally understand because it's like the filmmaker, right?
Yeah.
If the filmmaker wants it a certain way, I have to provide. But I'm not very good at doing that.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that I can, you know, give him something that he'll be satisfied with when my autonomy is compromised. So I used to always just say no, but I think I did it a couple times. Many times film directors will ask for a song that I already put out.
Okay.
If they can use it. And I will say yes. If I think the film will benefit from it.
Yeah.
But I rarely say yes.
But when… Yeah. So because like my thing is like… When… Because Korean OSTs is like a big thing.
Yeah.
It really is. Like releases for songs for popular dramas here. It's like a thing that people really pay attention to. And I'm just wondering like… When they're making the song… Whoever they're contacting to record or make the song… Is it like… It's for this scene or like this theme or this topic? Do they see the show or episode?
Well, they will tell you like… It's going to be for like the love line or like it's going to… And you immediately like once you hear the demo, you know exactly what they're trying to go for.
Oh, so they already have something made.
Most of the time they will. Oh. But that was the difficulty that we had. Because we're like, we don't want to just… You know, we're not going to just rap to your song, right? Like, yeah. We want to be able to just compose the song all together. And a lot of, you know, I don't want to like spill the tea or anything, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure everyone has a different experience. But, you know, a lot of like drama music side, you know, they don't want you to do that because it's a money issue for them. You know what I mean? Because they have to share credits. And the minute they do that, they're going to have to share royalties. Well, at least a few of the, you know, fairly well-known people that approached me to work with them. They were so, like, they were guarding that royalty thing so harsh at the beginning. That I was like, okay, so you would give up on the chance to make a song better? Like, to make a better song for this drama? Just because you want a little… You want a bigger portion?
Of the royalties?
Like, that just makes absolutely no sense to me.
Yeah.
Right?
Especially because if it's like under the thing that… The very strong possibility that if you're given that full autonomy… Like, that song could live a really bigger life.
Yeah.
And therefore, technically generate more money.
Yeah. And anyways, like… So I would say no when that happens.
Yeah.
Right? Because they're like, we want you to like rap on it and to make a melody. Oh, actually, we don't want you to make a melody because then we would have to, they're basically saying we would have to share
so
the…
So they just want you to do like karaoke composition in a room for royalties. Like 30 minutes.
And I'm like, just go to someone else then. Why would you come to a singer-songwriter to do that? Like, and obviously, if I'm going to be writing a rap, I'm obviously going to be creating some of the composition. Like, how can I avoid it?
You don't want that K-drama writer to write you a little rap about the love line?
There are situations where that has happened too.
Oh, wow.
Where they will send me this really weird rap demo that just would not work.
Like, clearly made by someone who doesn't even
clearly
do music.
It just is really bad.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so I'm assuming that you want me to redo this entire thing. And they'll be like, no, can you do it this way? And the only logical thing I can think is, okay, so if they're offering an established rapper,
yeah,
a song that they want me to like, you know, make better by having my rap on it,
yeah,
but they want me to do this horrible rap, the only conclusion I can draw is that they just don't want to split the writing credits with me.
I'm just imagining this this like character who would belong in like a Taikiki like universe, like that type of person where he's just like, no, the song's great. And it's like cut back to just like him in his room. This song's amazing.
And my whole thing was like, you would actually really like just give up on the chance to like have better lyrics and better melodies and just a better song and and provide a better experience for the audience just because you want to make a little bit of more money?
Like, that's tea.
I mean, that's just lame.
That's royal tea.
Right? Ooh.
I think I wrote that rap that you got.
Royal milk tea.
I think I wrote the rap that you got.
I think, yeah, that was along those lines. I'm like, I can't do this. To jog my mind and our minds… I actually just Googled greatest movie soundtracks.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one that pops up is from Pitchfork. And I'm assuming that they chose the most obscure soundtracks possible.
Yeah, you know they hate Childish Gambino.
What?
Did you know that? There's like this whole…
As a person?
Like, they hate his music. That's like a thing. I don't know if it's changed in the past like 5 years, but before that…
They hate Awaken My Love?
It used to be a thing where like every time he put out an album, they would just hate it. Because they like for some reason really didn't like the fact that he was like an actor, writer, like comedian making music, I think.
What's wrong with somebody being really good at everything?
But they were just like nitpicking and they're like, you're confusing your persona. You're writing about this, but then you wrote a song which contradicts this song.
Well, I have nothing against Pitchfork, but…
Yeah. But I just remember like… That was like one of my early impressions of Pitchfork is just that knowing that they did not like Childish
But Childish Gambino is f***ing awesome.
He
so.
Is.
Well, I think he put out his last album now. I think that was his last album.
I thought the album before was supposed to be his last, but yeah, this is supposed to be.
He said one more. And
he said this is his last album as Childish Gambino.
Yeah. So he's probably going to just drop it as.
And beat Donald.
As adultish.
Adultish Gambino.
Adultish Gambino. So.
Can that be the name of this episode?
Adultish Gambino.
And we
Gambino.
Don't even talk about him.
Yes,
we
yes.
literally just mentioned this one
this
moment.
This episode will be called Adultish Gambino. Okay. So I'm looking at Pitch. I just went straight to the number one soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
That Pitchfork chose.
Yeah.
And I actually can't argue this. It's Curtis Mayfield, Superfly from 1972. Okay, their number two is Purple Rain. Okay, Prince. Honestly, I'm agreeing with Pitchfork at this point.
Yeah.
Number three is Trainspotting.
Okay.
Okay.
Ooh,
all
I,
right.
I see,
all right.
Oh, you know what? I see The Graduate on here, so I for sure agree with that.
Oh, Space Odyssey.
Ooh.
Is my sh- from 1968, way before I was born.
Oh my gosh!
But 2001 Space Odyssey. Do the Right Thing. Okay, this list is undeniable.
Did you rate this?
2003 Lost in Translation. And now they won't let me look at the rest unless I subscribe.
Oh, I'm looking at the rest.
Oh, okay. Now I got rid of it. Rushmore soundtrack was really good.
Yes.
Okay. Help by the Beatles.
Is that a movie?
I guess it was. There was a movie. I don't know.
Okay.
And Pulp Fiction. Oh, Help the Beatles was the first Beatles movie.
Oh.
And it was the soundtrack.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
This list is pretty undeniable.
Yeah.
We started off with Pitchfork hating on our boy Adultish Gambino.
We like just agree
our,
with
our man. Our man.
Our
adultish,
Adultish Gambino.
Our Adultish Gambino. But yeah, I actually can't argue this
Refill,
list.
Man.
This is pretty good. Let's see some other list. This one's by Vulture. Okay?
Yeah.
Let's see here. Man, can't they just start with number one? I know people don't want to get spoiled, but like I have to scroll down like a madman.
Well, while you scroll, do you know if like in a perfect world, if a director, one of your favorite directors came up to you and was like, I want you to make the soundtrack for my entire movie. Do you know like which director you think you'd be the most like in line with in terms of like creative vision? Is that too hard of a question?
I don't know about that. But I do know who I would love to work with.
Who?
Joe Hisaishi.
Uh-huh.
Hisaishi Joe.
Okay.
So he did all the soundtracks for all the Miyazaki Hayao films.
Oh.
So like Totoro.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Yeah. I think he also did the soundtrack to one of my wife's movies. Welcome to Dongmakgor. And his music was unbelievable. And the film was also unbelievable. And like when I first met my wife, I was like…
Your current wife.
Yes, my current wife. My one and only wife. When I met her, I asked about Hisaishi Joe. I was like, what was it like working with him? Like, you know, like having him do a soundtrack to like a film that you're starring in. That's like… I'm like a huge fan. She was also a huge fan. And I almost had an opportunity to work with him. But it didn't happen for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully, maybe one day. Another film director that I would say yes to. Anyone. Like
you would just trust like it's going to be great. So you want to work with him or them or her or them.
I actually don't want that pressure.
Oh,
so,
really?
So I would want somebody that's just going to make… Like that is known for making like not so great films.
What? And you just want your soundtrack to shine?
So it won't really matter. Like I don't want the pressure.
What about what kind of movie would you want to make a soundtrack to? Like what genre of movie?
Like a Seth Rogen film?
Well, you know what? Superbad had a great soundtrack.
Superbad had a great soundtrack.
The whole intro.
I think like because I have never so I'm assuming that like let's say I'm working for a Hollywood film, right? I think I should start with something easy.
Okay.
Where like I won't be blamed in any way for like not helping
ruining
the film.
The scene.
Yeah. Like I think we should start with like a Netflix straight to Netflix film.
Okay.
Right?
And Amazon Studios.
Yeah, like something like low stakes.
Yeah.
And then let's move on up to like Marvel.
What? Just hearing your rap over like a big fight scene.
I don't
with
have
Blade.
To rap.
Oh.
I don't have to rap.
It's just you humming.
If you want me to conduct an orchestra, I will. Anyways, Vulture has Superfly at number 2 and American Graffiti at number 1. It's the George Lucas film that he made before Star Wars.
Huh.
I actually don't… I'm not familiar with that soundtrack. Shaft. Great soundtrack. What else do they have? Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Is number 5? I am not familiar with the soundtrack, but… Number 5?
Yeah.
I mean, I like the Coen Brothers, but what are you laughing at?
Nothing. It's just looking at your feet.
I mean, I love the Coen Brothers, but I'm not… Are you serious? Oh, it won Album of the Year at the Grammys? What?
You don't agree, I see.
Now, where was I during this time? I gotta go listen to this.
You were in like a weird…
Saturday Night Fever… Rushmore. Yeah.
Oh, Bodyguard is on here.
Kill Bill. Thank you. Kill Bill had a great soundtrack. Footloose. All the 007 films, like all the James Bond films had pretty good soundtracks.
Yeah. Oh, The Graduate's on here too. I love… The Graduate's one of my favorite movies. And yeah, that is also a very iconic soundtrack.
You know Adele, Skyfall?
Yeah.
Like when she did… When Adele did the soundtrack. That was really good. But nothing will beat The Mission Impossible.
Oh. That's true.
So Epic High, when we do shows, we have like this moment where we like introduce ourselves. And we sometimes do it with movie soundtracks. And I used to always use the Mission Impossible thing.
Why?
I don't know. It's just…
Would you come spinning down?
It just pumps me up. I'm surprised Rocky's not on this.
Oh, is that the… Is that… Oh, that's Rocky. As he…
And also… Bam! Bam, bam, bam!
Oh, yeah! Bam,
bam! The Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah, Eye of the Tiger…
was actually the theme song to our… to our high school like sports teams.
When I was in middle school, the girls in 7th grade… We would like to go to the bathroom and just play that song and sing.
Why?
I don't know. It was like a weird thing. All the girls in my year in 7th grade really liked that song. And we liked that song.
Eye of the Tiger?
We liked Eye of the Tiger and we liked Weezer's The Sweater Song. So we
Weezer.
We would just scream singing that song. If you want
Have you seen the SNL Matt Damon skit about Weezer?
No.
Okay. Make sure you look for it later on YouTube because it is one of the funniest skits I've ever seen. They're like… it is amazing.
All right, I have to go
see it. It's about Weezer fans.
Yeah.
Just make sure you see it. It's hilarious. Okay, what other movie soundtracks? Actually, one of my favorites is The Yellow Submarine.
Oh, yeah. Another Beatles.
That's a film, right?
Yeah, Beatles.
I was reluctant to mention like an animation soundtrack because you so hate Frozen.
That does not mean I hate animation. If anything,
you're disgusted by Elsa.
But
back to Disney. I think the best Disney soundtrack ever is Reflection. Honestly. Yeah. Like
title song. Yeah.
I've been through many Disney songs, as you know. Like every time I'm depressed, I just sing my heart out. And I think like if there was a ranking, it needs to be number one. I think it's just the greatest Disney song ever made. And there are many great Disney songs. But the feeling that Reflection gives you when you belt those high notes out. Like it's just… You're emptying your heart of like everything that is just any wall or filth that is blocking your way.
Yeah, I'm trying to think right now if there's any other big Disney title song, especially in that era of like Disney princesses, that isn't like, that song is so like sad and self-reflective. Whereas all the other songs are very like inspiring. You can do it.
Reflection literally kicks Let It Go like…
Yes.
In the ass.
Someday my niece
And then
will
just
know.
Out of the stadium, okay? Like… Reflection is way better than Let It Go.
Way,
Let It Go is great.
Better.
Okay? And I can see why it's so popular. But Let It Go is very… It's like a Disney song, but it was very pop.
It sounds like a kid's song. Like it does sound like a song that was engineered to be good for kids.
Reflection
to hear.
is beautiful, and at the same time, it just makes you like kind of like it's also like heartbreakingly beautiful. Where
yeah,
like,
melancholy.
Yeah, and the title, Reflection. Who is this girl I see?
That whole scene of her like wiping half of the makeup off and then looking in the reflection of her ancestors, like, was it?
Yeah.
Shrine.
Yeah.
And then her like walking, seeing the reflection of herself in the pond. Girl! Sting!
A great soundtrack. Oof. Oh, recent films. Obviously, La La Land was popular, right?
Oh, yeah. It was really popular in Korea. Korea loved it.
You know, I'm gonna like, tell the truth right now.
You know, I didn't see that movie because I knew I wouldn't like it.
I didn't see it. I actually still haven't seen it.
Me neither.
But here's the thing. I think I did. I think someone asked if I saw it, like in an interview or something. And I was like, of course I did.
Why do you do this? You yell, you lie for no reason.
No, it wasn't a lie. It was like, I felt like I just needed to like say yes so that they can just move on.
Oh, so that it wouldn't be this like, oh, well, you have to watch it because like, it's just, about
yeah,
this and that.
Like, I didn't want it to be like… Yeah, I didn't want that whole conversation…
About Ryan Gosling playing the piano.
Because my members had seen it.
Yeah.
And Mithra was gushing about it. And I for some reason, didn't feel like I was going to love it. I'm not good with musical films. Like, in general.
Okay. I love musicals, but I just like, didn't…
I need that. My musicals… To have Disney princesses in it. Like, it needs to be animated for me to take it in. Mm. I can't deal with live action.
Like Les Miserables, like real adults just.
Oh yeah,
belting.
I can't.
I'll
go to Broadway for that.
Yeah.
So I was proven right because, you know, look at Cats.
If you saw Cats on Broadway too, which is I have seen Cats, it's not good there either.
I'm not good with live action musicals on film.
Well, I saw Cats on Broadway, orchestra center, best seats in the house, and I was not vibing. I took a picture with the cast on stage, but I was not vibing.
I saw Les Mis on Broadway, and I loved it.
Yeah, that's a great musical.
Speaking of musicals, I don't know if we're allowed to talk about musicals because we're talking about the best movie soundtracks.
Yeah, but so many musicals get made into movies and stuff like that.
The greatest soundtrack ever though.
Okay.
For the eighth time today. is Tomorrow from Annie.
Oh, okay.
Tomorrow. Yeah, yeah. I love you tomorrow.
You really like that song.
I really love that song. It just breaks my heart.
Yeah.
And I have really strange memories from like childhood that are intertwined with the song.
Yeah, there's a whole era of classical like literature and movies about like orphans, like Oliver Twist. And I read Oliver Twist and Oliver Twist bummed me out so hard.
Yo. Honestly, I have a master's in modern literature, right?
Yeah.
But a lot of modern literature, honestly, it's just it ain't it.
It ain't lit.
Yeah, it Ooh. Ain't lit.
Oh. And I really did write that demo rap.
It ain't lit.
Yeah? Why?
I just don't like it.
Is any part of it the fact that you're not like, you didn't grow up consuming some of like the like American literature and like.
No, I read almost everything.
Yeah.
Almost.
But like there's a certain like sensibility.
Everything from horses to planes. I read everything. Okay. Right up to like cell phones. I read almost every book.
You read every cell phone.
Almost every
book.
There
ain't no cell phone I haven't read.
from people riding horses.
Yeah.
To people riding Ubers, okay? I basically read everything in that time period. There's a lot of it that I can live without.
I liked East of Eden. When we talked about it.
Why are we talking about books?
Because of musicals and Oliver Twist and literature, but yeah.
Anyways, any soundtrack always pulls on my heartstrings. What other great soundtracks do we need to mention here?
For musicals?
Any TV show soundtracks? Oh, Seinfeld.
Oh, yeah. Remember.
Yeah. Those are soundtracks too, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Friends.
Yeah.
I'll be there for you. That was so popular.
That song used to be on my MySpace page.
What was the band?
Who knows? That was like their one thing.
Oh, the Rembrandts, I think.
Yeah.
I think the band was called
like
the
Dutch
Rembrandts.
Painter?
Yeah. And I, as soon as I saw the name, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be their only hit.
Yeah, 100%.
I feel so bad. I'm hoping that
Pokemon
they,
movie.
I'm Sorry. Hoping that they wrote the song so that they could get some money out of that.
I think they did.
Because it would suck to… See, that's one of the dilemmas also. Like, one of the reasons why early on in our career when we first became big and we got a ton of those offers, I was also scared that like… If I create a song for a show that ends up becoming like too huge, like that song will outshine anything else I can create. You know what I mean? Like
yeah.
I didn't want to be remembered for creating a theme song.
Yeah.
And of course that fear is completely unfounded because Korean dramas function in a different way. We don't have seasons. Like, we don't have a show running for like…
Where you like stay with these characters for years and years.
You don't have a show running for like 9 years.
Yeah.
Right? So, songs will blow up for that time period. But eventually, you know, you move on to the next song. What else comes to mind?
For me, the shows that I remember having really great soundtracks were because it was for like teenagers when I was growing up. So it would be like The OC, Veronica Mars.
The OC? Isn't that like a… Like police drama?
No.
Is it like…
The OC…
Terrorist?
No.
Am I…
The OC is in Orange County.
Oh, okay.
The OC was a very big show that was about this guy.
I was like, Operation Counterforce?
It's about this guy who gets arrested stealing a car with his brother. And his public attorney, assigned attorney, ends up taking him in because his parents kick him out of the house. And his attorney, who grew up, you know, in the Bronx and is like lower middle class, but he married rich. Like his wife is a real estate person, real estate developer in Orange County.
Yeah.
So it's about him like coming into this world of like the way upper class and being kind of like the street rat that joins
and
them.
What's the theme? Is it like a score or is it like a…
They have song. It's like songs. And it's like that show made like bands big because they would feature songs.
Okay. I'm thinking iconic TV songs. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Mm-hmm.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. That song is crazy because it's a synopsis of the show.
Yeah.
It's like a pitch of the show in rap form. And somehow just is really good. Even, you know, it aged well, I think. Even if you listen to it now, it just feels good.
Yeah. All those like 80s and 90s family sitcoms like Full House, Step by Step with Suzanne Somers.
Now that I think about it, you know…
Am I white?
For the sheer amount of like popular shows on TV right now…
Yeah.
Like the amount of content…
Yeah.
There aren't many shows with great theme songs.
No, they got rid of theme songs. Now it's like a little… title card.
Did they do that? Like…
people don't have patience anymore.
No, but like, for example, like Breaking Bad, great show, right? But do you remember a single song from it? Like,
no, but that was, imagine if there was.
Well, Narcos.
Yeah.
Everybody knows the intro song for Narcos. Dun, 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 dun. Am I singing it right? Maybe I don't know it. But like it's very recognizable.
Mm.
But how many songs how many TV shows can we name right now that has something like that? Why did they stop doing that? Because like back in the day, almost even sitcoms had great like
full songs.
Yeah, like songs that are super recognizable, right?
Yeah.
Why did they stop doing that?
I think it just became the style, and then people's like attention span, like they don't like wading through a whole intro, so they'll skip it and they don't care about it. And so like to combat that, I think probably creators or producers just was like, fine, title card, jingle, get into the story. People don't want to sit and watch it.
But
intro.
Why not score a TV show like you would score a movie so that you have like a recurring like theme music or something, or like a theme score, or like a section that you you're familiar with. I
there might be, just wasn't noticeable maybe.
Yeah, I can't name a single one. Like other than Narcos, I can't name a single show right now that I saw in the recent like a TV show that I saw in the last couple of years that has that. Like of course we're not talking about Glee or you know.
That's also not in the past couple of years.
Yeah. Well, anything like music oriented, but
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like
I
love Mindhunters, but I don't remember the music.
Yeah. Might just not be.
Maybe that's
in
what
the
they intend.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Might just not be in the budget. It might make it kitschy to them or something.
Oh, what? Now I remember. There was one. My song. One of my songs was in this American TV show.
What?
Like TV drama. Like, I don't. This was like. Years ago, like it's a song off my solo album,
like on an American cable show,
like on an actual American, like you know, like
okay,
like premium drama, for some odd reason. And I someone sent it to me, and it's in some like gang scene for some reason.
Do you know what song it was? Was it Born Hater?
No, it was was Born Hater in something.
Why do I feel like I heard Born Hater in something?
It may have been.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, I was like, how did this happen? But apparently the director just liked the song, so they just used it. Now that I remember, I actually even scored an anime. I don't remember the name of it.
You
but,
did?
Yeah.
And you don't remember the name of the anime?
Well, I didn't score it. Like, well, it's a score. It's like the end, you know, every episode when it ends, like the song, the end credit song.
Yeah.
Was made by me. This was back in the day. So I did do a lot of soundtrack work now that I think about it. But it's just unorthodox.
Yeah. Also, before we go, I have this weird thing where my roommate will play her Korean music in the living room. And the other day, one of Epic High songs came on. But you know when you're just like not paying attention? I was like, I know this voice.
It's
so hyper familiar to me. And then you texted me while that song was
and
playing.
And then you realized.
And then I literally was like, oh my. And then I literally was like shouting throughout my bedroom door. And I was like, is that Epic High? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, and I almost texted you being like, you're really popular.
You know how does done that before?
What? Oh, like where she heard your voice?
Like. We were at a restaurant and they were playing one of my songs. And she said to me, what is this?
What is this?
She's like,
awful song.
She's like, what is this song? And I'm like, it's your dad. And she's like, oh, it's you. And I was like, you really didn't know it was me? Like, it's playing pretty loud.
Yeah.
It's clearly my voice.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, no, no, no. I knew. And I'm like, okay, sure, dude. Anyways, one thing I always tell people like when they're dealing with something like that's troubling or they want to get over like a barrier or they're just dealing with something that just sucks, right? I always tell them like, Hey, imagine if like this was like if this was a film, right? And there was a camera on you and an audience was watching this in the theater, right? Like a lot of people would find your situation in a strange way beautiful, right? Because you're being very human right now. And this is the moment that the audience will identify with you and learn something from you and like experience emotions because of you and be on your side. And if you think of it that way, it doesn't solve the situation, but I mean, you know, it's one way to make it a little more bearable, I guess. I don't know. But I think movie soundtracks are awesome because it helps with that. So it's probably good to have like a soundtrack for yourself as well, is what I'm, you know, like recommending. I think everyone should have their own theme song. Like a song that they like that helps them like when a hero in a movie or a protagonist or even like an anti-hero has his moment. I think everyone needs a song that like pumps them up or gives them that vibe. I don't know if you have a song like that, but I have a couple, but I don't want to mention because it's kind of embarrassing. Like you know a song that you will hum to yourself when you're like in the shower or something.
Yeah.
Or like,
is it Chumbawamba?
Well, no, no, it's not. I know what Eddie Noms is.
Chumbawamba.
No, Eddie Noms is I think Nickelback.
Really?
Yeah, because whenever I'm in LA, like he will, I don't know, he starts singing it.
Like, look at these.
He starts playing it and he's singing along to it. I don't know any Nickelback songs, but he told me it's Nickelback.
Wow.
And he's just going crazy, like as he's driving. And I'm just like, okay, if this is what you need for this meeting that we're going to, then be my guest. Which is one of the songs that I listen to. Be my guest. Be my guest.
Really?
I don't know why.
What a
so another song that there's a song called Been a Long Time. It's Been a Long Time by Rakim. It's like a 90s hip hop song. Are you playing it right now?
I'm finding it.
Rakim.
Yeah, I found it.
Yeah, this song. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds so cinematic to me.
Yeah, it is.
And here's the thing. Okay, so when I was in college, and I had to go to work, meaning after classes, I had to go to that sandwich making coffee shop, cafe, the campus cafe. And I knew that I was going to put on an apron and make some sandwiches.
For the people.
For a bunch of like students and profs and visitors and whatever, right? Obviously, I wasn't like jumping up in the air and doing this with my feet in joy.
Yeah.
Right? And it was quite a walk from my dorm room to the cafe. And I would put on headphones and I would play that song and think to myself that like I'm in a music video or a film and I'm you know, this is all for my come up and I just gotta go to this, you know, my day job and grind to reach some kind of dream.
Yeah.
And that song actually always motivated me.
Yeah, it sounds like a really great, like, especially if you're describing yourself walking from your door to your work. That's like a perfect, like, film, like, character intro scene.
And that song was, like, one of my theme songs at the time.
Mm.
It's not anymore because I have Disney songs now. But I want everyone to, like, if you don't have one, like, if you're listening right now and you don't have one, you know, find a song that makes you feel like the protagonist in a film, like the hero, the anti-hero, like, and maybe it'll help you get through the day, I guess. Anyways, I'll see you guys next week on the Tableau Podcast.
Looking for a new podcast to listen to? Here's what we love, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
I'm Teresa Caputo, and I am dying to tell you about my new podcast, Hey Spirit. Most of you might know me as the Long Island Medium. Why do people even call me that? Well, I talk to the dead. Is his birthday coming up?
Actually, his 60th birthday is today.
Oh my God, you just gave me the chills. Throughout my entire life, I always just thought everyone felt and saw the same things that I was sensing and feeling. Through this podcast, I'm going to connect guests with the souls of their departed loved ones and give them the peace that they've been searching for.
I feel like I've been able to smile, like really smile again for the first time.
I am so super excited for you guys to hear and be a part of Hey Spirit. Please subscribe wherever you listen.
Acast recommends.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.